Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, today you're going to be blessed. I know and hope and trust that you are already blessed, but I've brought somebody very special, a couple, to be with us for this last weekend to minister to us and inspire us. Eddie and Alice Smith have come today from Houston, Texas. Now, you may have heard of Eddie and Alice Smith. They're very well known as authors and speakers, especially in the area of prayer, which is so important to us. And right now, we're in a month of prayer. I guess today is our last day to really emphasize this prayer thing. And I think we're going to end with a bang as this very special couple who has traveled the world, written books, bestsellers, appeared on famous television shows and so forth. But they're not here because they're famous. They're not here because they're well-known or because their books are so brilliant. I've invited them because they have something that we need. And that is their love for Jesus, the spirit that they carry on their life in the area of prayer. And I'm just so honored to have Eddie and Alice Smith here with us for the first time. Would you please welcome them? Alice is going to minister the word, but Eddie and Alice, please come. Let's give them a Gateway welcome. God bless you. Welcome to San Jose.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Eddie. Love you, brother.
It's good to be with you today. I'm sitting over here by the thermostat. If anybody gets uncomfortable, let me know. In 1969, I sang at Jerry Falwell's church in Lynchburg, Virginia, and when we came out on the stage, I noticed thermostat. I said, "What are all those thermostats back there for?" He said, "They're not connected to anything." I said, "What are they there for?" He said, "Well, you watch the little old ladies. They'll go back and adjust them during the service."
That's a good idea.
So if you need anything, I've got the thermostat right here by me. I had a wonderful time yesterday with some of you talking about writing and publishing books. I also had a wonderful time this morning. I woke up about halfway through the message that I was speaking. And it was a great group this morning, and we just, we always get excited when we find hungry believers. Occasionally, we get into a place where everybody's just sitting there waiting, hoping the Methodists don't beat us to the cafeteria. And you people are hungry people, and there's another way that you can tell the health of a church, too. How quick do they leave? And people were just milling around back there, talking and meeting each other and drinking coffee and fellowshipping. And when people are revived, they don't like leaving each other. They hang around. So we're very grateful to be here today. And Pastor David and his wife are such pure-hearted pastors and so in love with you. It's exciting to find pastors who are not climbing a ladder trying to get to something bigger. And so we're very much at home today. This is very much, in fact, very much like the church we belong to, which is also called Gateway of all things. So thank you for letting us come. I'm known in many circles as Mr. Alice, and I think it's important that you understand. I tell people before you unload a truck, you need to know what's on the truck. And I said that one time at a seminary in Singapore where Alice was speaking, and they kept interrupting her, these young seminarians. She would make a statement, and they would say, "Well, what about over in Isaiah where it says?" And she would answer politely, and then she would get started again. They would interrupt her again. Finally, I stood up and took the microphone for a moment, and I said, "You guys need to settle down." I said, "Before you unload a truck, you need to know what's on the truck." She's not a theologian. You can talk to your professors about what's in Isaiah, whatever. Let me just encourage you to do this. Pay close attention to what you're going to hear for the next few minutes. And when she finishes, the only thing that'll be on your mind is, where can I go pray?
Thank you. Would you join me in prayer?
Father, we thank you that in Jesus' name that you are everything we could ever desire. You're everything we ever long for. We know it's all about you. We thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you for Gateway. Thank you, Father, for Pastor David and Pastor Chip and Pastor Brad and Pastor John and maybe the others that I've not met. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity to hear your word and to receive the word and apply it to our hearts. And that's our desire. Now, Father, you know that I am your handmaid. I have no manna from heaven. You are the manna. So I pray that you would fill my mouth with things that would bless your people, encourage them, affirm them. And we just give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about what's in your lunchbox. And I'm taking this out of the passage of Matthew chapter 14. And if you will join with me, we're going to read this story about what happened to Jesus. In chapter 14, let me turn to it. You know what, Pastor? I so appreciate this. This pulpit is not up here because I am only 5 feet tall, actually 4'11". And many times I'll have to have them move the pulpit and give me just a music stand so I can even see the people. So I really love this. This I appreciate. In verse 13, before we go into this passage, to kind of get you up to date, Jesus had just learned about the death of John the Baptist. Don't you know he was grieved? Don't you know he was hurting? And before we read this story, I want you to think about the fact of what John the Baptist had lost his life, and Jesus is now walking into an entire new scenario, knowing that he had lost his cousin, lost the forerunner of the beginning of even what he was to present in ministry. So let's read this in verse 13. When Jesus heard it, talking about John the Baptist, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And when he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy themselves some food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. He gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So when they all ate and were filled, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten there were about 5,000, and they were men. But beside that, there were women and children. So there might have been even upwards to 10,000. We're not even exactly sure. Now, I borrowed this little lunchbox from my 3-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Zoe. Zoe Lee is 3, and she loves to sing. She loves to worship. When she goes to church, she thinks it's her job to come to the front and twirl before the Lord and singing to the top of her lungs. Now, this is a lunchbox that you probably see that the front of this is Elsa from the very popular, favorite movie of Frozen. Zoe's favorite song, after all, is Let It Go, Let It Go. And I mean, even with the vibrato, she makes sure, let it go, let it go. And she's a drama queen and when she comes to Mimi and Pawpaws. But I thought it was appropriate one day when I was preparing this message for us to be able to hear. And I'm going to open our little lunchbox here. And for those of you that are grannies and pawpaws, that maybe you don't even know what Frozen is all about, I believe possibly the one reason it was so popular is Elsa, who was a princess of her castle and of her place. She had a sister, and her sister was Anna. Elsa was the princess, and she was to be coronated. But Elsa found out that everything she touched turned to freezing. It froze. Anna was not like that. Her sister was a very vivacious, outgoing sister that just wanted the attention and the affection of her older sister, Elsa. The point of the story of Frozen, before we get to the Bible illustration here, was that true love can melt even a frozen heart. And we know the rest of the story, that as Anna was seeing that Elsa, who was even in her song, let it go, can't hold it back anymore, let it go, I am closing and slamming that door, slamming the door to the reality, slamming the door to the possibility that love could be mine. This is what Elsa was saying. But Anna was even willing to risk herself being frozen to prevent the villain of this movie to kill Elsa. And when Anna jumped in between Elsa and herself, then the true love of Anna, the sister, melted Elsa's heart. True love wins. I want you to see a Bible story where real true love wins, and how true love of Jesus Christ, even for disciples who were clueless, can melt our heart and change our lives. Some of you, and you've heard what the pastor is saying, I'm just a regular person. I love to pray, but I've gained spiritual authority in prayer no different than what you will. I spent days where I would say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. I feel so faithless. I feel so full of doubt. I feel as though I have unbelief. I'm confused. No different than this story that we're about to read. Going back and looking at this, we see the first thing that was in the lunchbox that Jesus was delivering and showing us, even in this passage, that in his pain, he had compassion on the people. He was grieving. I'm sure he didn't want to go out and heal the sick. He didn't want to deal with compassion. He was a man, and yet God. He was hurting. He didn't want to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to unfreeze our hearts. And he wants us, even in life, and I'm going to find it in here. It's time for you and I to see what we have in the way of food that we can give to others. And even though this is an egg in here, thank you, Zoe Lee, for letting me use these. Jesus Christ is looking for you and I to give compassion to others. That compassion can be very simple. A grocery clerk who you can tell she's having a bad day, just to smile and say, God bless you, sweetie. Or maybe when you go to work and you see a brother who is behind a desk and he is very perplexed, you can tell something's really going on with him. Go over to him. Tom, is there anything I can do for you today? You know, I just really sense that you're troubled. I'd love to pray for you. You know, I'm a Christian. We don't have to do it right now if you don't want, but I'd love to pray for you. Compassion. Here is Jesus. As he saw the multitude, he had compassion. So the first thing that I see that comes out of our lunchbox, or it should be, is compassion. We may be in financial struggle. We may be at a loss and not having a job. We may be having relational problems. Jesus, even in his distress, showed compassion to the multitudes. You and I should be no different. You know, we want to be these big, strong, hooked men when it comes to prayer and spiritual life. But I see it this way, little as much when we give it to God. So if you take the little in your life and you share what you have, even if you are in a place where you're grieving, you're hurting, you don't feel so happy, you feel betrayed, and you share and give compassion, you're going to do no different than what Jesus was doing to the multitudes. He was showing and mentoring that which he wanted them to do, which also is what you and I are to do. Then we also see when Jesus not only had compassion, but he healed the sick. Pastor Brad, I know that you're in charge of the healing ministries, and I'm sure there are times where you don't feel so great. You don't want to be there healing others, but you do it because it's out of your innermost belly that you want to serve and love people. Here Jesus was healing others when his friend, the one that he loved, John the Baptist, had just lost his head. But it didn't stop him from finishing and moving on into ministry, healing. He healed the sick at that moment. This should be in our lunchbox, ladies and gentlemen, our brothers and sisters. Not only compassion, but healing. To be instant in season, out of season, to share with others, to love on others. Do you have a headache? To pray for them. Do you have some kind of a problem? To pray for them. It could be more than just a physical healing that they need. It could be an emotional healing. I remember I was in high school, and I was a junior in high school. I was had only come to Christ as a 15-year-old, and I was learning about prayer and how to hear the voice of God and wanting to be obedient to whenever he would speak to me. And I didn't understand much about prayer. I'd spend 5 minutes in prayer, and that was all I knew to do. And the Lord would continue to remind me that if I would just be faithful every day, that he would enlarge the borders of my heart, of my prayer heart. And I'm telling you that same thing. Jesus was mentoring what he wants you and I to do. And as I was in the hall between classes, there was another girl that was standing there. And I remember this being one of the most relevant beginning times of seeing God use me in prayer. And one of our friends, she was saying, she was crying. She said, I don't know what to do. My parents are divorcing, and I've got to make a decision. Do I go live with my mother? Do I go live with my father? I just don't know what to do. I love them both. And as she was describing the situation, the circumstance of her heart, I began to feel this pain in my heart, actual physical pain in my heart. Now, at the moment, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was no different than Sanford and Son. This is the big one. But I learned later on, as I continued to grow in the areas of compassion and healing and prayer and the many other areas that we're going to see that or need to be in our lunchbox, that what that was a trigger of the Holy Spirit showing me that I was identifying with the emotional pain of my friend Jane. And that if I had just stopped at that moment and said, Jane, you know, I don't know what you're supposed to do, but can I just join with you and pray with you and cry with you over this? Then I'm sure that pain in my heart would have gone. Let's see what else is in here. When it was evening, his disciples came and saying, this is a deserted place, and, you know, it's way out in the boonies. That's a Texas term. And there's nothing for these people to eat. Why don't you send them off into the village? Now, I personally believe, and we'll not know this until we see Jesus, but I imagine after these disciples been with Jesus, seen him raise the dead, heal the sick, do extraordinary miracles that, don't you know, his heart might have kind of failed for a moment, disappointed, grieved that the disciples that he's poured all this investment in, that they didn't have any more faith than to say, well, let's just send these people off. But what I love about Jesus, I love this about Jesus. He is a God of such grace and forgiveness, mercy and benevolence, that even when we disappoint him, even when we are clueless about what we could really step into, some new spiritual dynamic, new dimension of glory, he did not condemn these disciples. He did not frustrate these disciples. Instead, he gave them some faith. The faith was this. He said, what do we have? You know, why are we doing this? Why don't you do something about it? They said, well, there's only a small amount of food here. There's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so instead of him saying, what's wrong with you guys? Your brain's on vacation. What, haven't you been with me all this time? He didn't do that. He said, just bring that to me. Now, I can see this as being something else. He's about to generate in these guys. And he showed mercy. You and I need to have mercy in our lunchbox. You never know when you need it. You know, one of the things that is a fact, Pastor, is that not any one of us in this room came to Christ when somebody came after us with a legalistic, mean-spirited, dogmatic message about the gospel. Not one of us came to Christ that way. And if you're here and you're in the journey of wanting to know who Jesus is, I want you to know that there is multitude and over amount of multitude of mercy for you. That Jesus loves you. He's not here. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He wants to be the Lord of your life. So you and I need to show mercy to others. Even that man or that woman that cut in front of you out on the freeway that you really wanted to go, well, who in the world do you think you are? It's going to take an act of grace for you and I to just, hi, God bless you. It won't hurt you. But not only did he give them mercy, he said, why don't you get them all together and let me have those fish, let me have those loaves. He gave them hope. Now, what I want you to see here is that Jesus is mentoring something that he wanted these disciples to do in the days to come. He didn't frustrate them. He didn't disappoint them. He said, I'm going to give you hope. Bring those fish. Bring that bread to me. You and I need to give hope to others. Has there ever been a time in the world where we need hope instilled in us? The newspaper, the television programs, the movies, the internet, the television, everything around us seems to have lack of hope in it. But you and I have Jesus Christ in us, and we do have that great hope. That needs to be in our lunchbox. We should not be like the frozen chosen. You and I need to be ones that provide hope. I love this. They saw when he said, you give them something to eat. And they came back with this faithless, full of doubt answer. You know, we have this small amount of food. He said, well, just bring that food to me. And when he did this, we see that the most wonderful, profound thing, and those of you that missed the message this morning, talking about how our prayers need to be congruent. All our prayers need to fall in line where God is authorized to answer those prayers. We see that Jesus took those 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And what did he do? He did not say, just start passing this out. He took those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we can see him in a full demonstration where he lifted it up into heaven. And he thanked God. He thanked God in advance of the multitude of baskets. He thanked God even when his disciples had come back with doubt and confusion and lack of breakthrough. They weren't victorious. He thanked God. And when he thanked God, there was that thanksgiving that went up into heaven, and it provided a multitude. You know what? Jesus didn't then take the multitude of baskets. And I love this. He didn't say, get out of the way, guys. Let me go serve these people. He gave those baskets that were overflowing to the disciples. That's just like my God. We're confused. We don't know where to go. We're in transition. What kind of job do we do? My bank account is empty. I'm in a real mess with my relationships. My kids are on drugs. All kinds of things around. We still see Jesus thanking the Father and then handing it to you, saying, I still believe in you. Go out and share with others. Go out, what I've given to you, I want you to give to others. I want you to feed others out of your lunchbox. What are some other things that were in there? Faith. Zoe had a real hard time with me giving up the pizza. We also see that he prayed, lifting his eyes with that simple thing that was in that basket, and God multiplied it in prayer. Another thing that should be in our basket is thanksgiving. That thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, for every situation in life. Praise the Lord for all things, for this is the will of the Father in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise the Lord when it looks like you may not get healed. Praise the Lord when it does not look like you're going to get your dream job. Praise the Lord when everything around you looks like it's upside down. Our friend Sue Thompson is here. She and Dave work with Ed Silvoso and work in the nations. I'm so proud to see you, Sue. It's been a long time. But one of the things I'd like to share with you is, as Eddie and I travel, you've heard about Brian. People ask us all the time, how did you develop your prayer life? It's called children. And I am not joking. We have 4 children, 9 grandchildren, and every one of them gave us a challenge. Every one of them were ones that we had to really get into a place of thanking God, even when you see your daughter in jail. In 2000, Eddie and I were in a big conference in St. Louis, and we'd just gotten word that our 19-year-old daughter had passed drugs off to a, what do you call him? Police officer. Undercover narcotics guy. And it's my turn to preach. Now, how would you feel? Our daughter, who's now runs our ministry, but at that time, she had struggled with drugs, sold to an undercover. And the reason she's not in prison today is because she knew something's not right here. I'm not going to accept money. The guy kept trying to give her money. She wouldn't accept it. But more than that, we came to this place where we said, Lord Jesus, she's yours. We dedicated her to you. We don't understand this. This grieves us. We are hurt. And here I am standing up in front of St. Louis, and I'm supposed to give this great message on how to get breakthrough in prayer. And I got up there, and it was about 4,000 people. And we're no different than you. You probably have struggles with grandchildren, children. You might still have those areas you wonder, what are you doing, God? I don't feel like there's anything in my lunchbox. I don't have anything that's inside of me to give. And I got up in front of this group and I just got transparent. I told them, I said, Eddie and I are really taking an act of faith today to speak to you because prayer works. Jesus is the great advocate that even when we can't see it, even when we don't know where he's going, even though we don't know what's happening, that he is faithful. And then I told them what was happening through lots and lots of tears. That was a much better message than if I had given them a great message of all these marvelous breakthroughs, which we have some great ones. But at that moment, we were not experiencing those. We were no different than these disciples. We were feeling the unbelief. We were feeling the confusion. We were feeling the lack of faith. We were wondering, what are you doing, Lord? I'm sure that even at that moment when I was standing in front of those people in St. Louis, that Jesus was from heaven saying, go on, Alice. Go on. Just share your love, my love with them. Don't give up. Well, I'm proud to tell you that in that jail cell, she said, Lord, you know, nobody can help me but you. And she got her own deliverance in that jail cell, started a prayer meeting, had a little revival going on in there. Supernatural miracles. Eddie, do we have this in any book where we tell about all these wonderful breakthroughs with our kids? On this one, anyway, she got out, and the judge granted her a reprieve. She should have been in prison for the rest of her life. It is a miracle what all God did. She said, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen when it was ready for her court date. And Eddie said, honey, it doesn't matter. You just thank the Lord, knowing that he is going to do something abundantly above anything we ask or think. So she says, so what do we pray? He said, surprise us, Lord. And we did get a surprise. Our attorney was the mentor of the judge. And the judge said, Mr. Bridgewater, what would you like done for your client? He said, Your Honor, I really believe in this girl. Her parents really love the Lord in front of all these people that were sitting out in the court. And he said, I'd really like for her to go on probation and, the different things. He said, done. And the rest of the story is that now she's married. She has two children. And her youngest is Zoe Lee. We serve such a great God. So what did Jesus do? He says, bring those things to me. He did. And look what he gave. I believe it's in here, I think. Oh, you know what? Zoe took it out of here. It was provision. Provision is gone. So sorry about that. She was the last one to have this lunchbox. I mean, it was a real impartation for her to impart this to Mimi while I brought this here. Provision. There was provision. Jesus gave provision. And we can see at the end that they all ate and they were filled. And what was left over, there were 12 baskets left over, one for each disciple. The part that I love the most about this story is how even when we have something little, all we have to do is take that which we have and impart it to others. And when we do, God will see to it that there will be a multiplication and something will be put back into your basket as a result. We see also here, joy. The people were filled with joy, but I'm sure the disciples were as well, because you know when they were going through those 5,000 plus people, they were saying, thank you so much, Peter. I was so hungry. I haven't eaten since yesterday. Oh, I'm so excited. You are a blessing. You're a blessing to let me have some of this fish, some of this bread. You and I always receive the blessings when we give that which Jesus has given to us, we give to others. And I see the last one in here is love. What the world needs now is love. We all know about that song. But it's one thing to have talky-talky. It's another thing to have walkie-walkie. We can talk about love, but our job is to manifest that love. Share that love with others. That's what Jesus did. We face all kinds of experiences, such as having so little faith to believe for the circumstances of our life. It's easy to believe for someone else at times, but it's difficult for us to believe for ourselves. But let's remember, Jesus is always more than willing. He's more than willing to model that kind of faith, love, provision, joy, Thanksgiving. He is the one that modeled it for us. And then he didn't go and take ownership of it and brag to the people that he's the one that did it. No, he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to others. Never let your sense of failure corrupt your new action to move forward. You might have disappointed yourself yesterday, but today's the new day. Take those things that are in your lunchbox that God has deposited in you at the time of your salvation and share it abundantly with others. For it's true that faith is resting in the fact that God has an objective in leaving you and I on the scene, that we can manifest that blessing and that opportunity for others. Some years ago, I was in Ohio, and my hostess, she had asked if I would go to a mental institution where there was a friend that was in there. And when we walked in there and we went into the room where her friend was, the friend looked at me with this very fallen, depressed face. And she said, Alice, she said, I can't smile. And I just reached out to her and I didn't say anything. I just wrapped my arms around her and I just held her. I didn't know her, but I could see that she couldn't smile. I didn't know the circumstances of her life. I didn't know the hardships that she'd faced. I didn't know what level of prayer she was at. But what I did know is that I had those things in my lunchbox. And I was willing to give them. So I just wrapped her up in my arms and I began to cry. And I loved on her and said, honey, I said, I can see that you can't smile. But Jesus wants to turn these circumstances of your life into a smile. He's right here with you. He loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I just want to love on you and pray for you. To let you know that in some ways, I'm Jesus just hugging on you right now. She began to cry as I held on to her. And the more I held on to her, and the more she began to heave and cried and cried and cried. As I prayed for her and finished praying for her, she says, you know, I feel a smile coming up out of my belly. I said, well, why don't you try? Let's see. And that face that was so filled with depression, despair, hopelessness, helplessness, confusion, She broke out a little smile, didn't show me her teeth, but she broke out a little smile. And I said, "How's that?" She said, "Oh, that feels good." I put my hand on the top of her little chest right here. I said, "Do you mind if I just touch you right here?" And she said, "Sure." And I said, "Honey," I said, "Jesus believes in you." He loves you. And I want you to know that I will continue to pray for you. You might be here this morning as we close, and as I learned when I got back in the car, that this woman had been so overwhelmed with betrayal, loss, disappointment, which changed into unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will kill you. You may be here today and you're saying, "You know, my basket's empty. I don't have anything in there. And I feel no different than Elsa. I feel frozen." Well, you know, I can tell you that Jesus Christ wants to fill your basket today. What is in your lunchbox? It can be provision. It can be faith. It can be joy. It can be hope. It can be compassion, mercy, love, joy, all these things. They can be yours. For true love is Jesus. And if you will just let him touch your life this morning, if you will just be willing to say, "Lord, I feel like I've gotten really a messed up life." If you will just let him touch you, for he sacrificed it all for you, he will change your frozen heart into a heart of love and turn your perpetual winner, as no different than this movie, into spring. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here this morning and you would say, "You know, I know about God in my head, but I realize today that my heart is frozen. And I know that this morning that I don't know this Jesus Christ. I don't have anything in my lunchbox. There's emptiness. There's nothing but heartbreak. There's nothing but just a God vacuum." And you would say today, "Alice, I realize that I am a sinner separated from God, and I really want Jesus to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. I want him to take my frozen life and deposit the good things from his Spirit into me. So today I'm willing to say, 'Jesus, here I am, take me.'" If that is you, would you just stand wherever you are? It may be that you just want to rededicate your heart. Or it could be that you want to stand by saying, "I really don't know you, Lord." It may be that you're here today and you do not know what to do next. And you just need someone to love on you, to put their arms around you. If that's you and this message has meant something to you, little as much when you give it to God, it could be the hardest thing you do today is to stand up and say, "I need someone to pray for me. I need someone to deposit what's in their lunchbox into me. I need to know different than what Jesus did to these disciples by believing these guys, for us to just speak into your life, speak life, hope, mercy, love." If that's you and you want us to be able to pray for you, why don't you just stand up and come to the front? There's a prayer team that will be up here to pray for you. Quickly, do it. "I'm hurting today. I feel betrayed today. I don't know what's going on with my children. I don't know what to do. I don't have a job. I need some breakthrough. I need someone to stand with me, someone to pray with me." You mean out of this entire congregation, there's no one that's going through some stuff in their life? Anyone? Quickly, stand up and come to the front. If that's you, you want someone to just put their arms around you and pray for you. We're here to do that. You remember Jesus did this for the disciples. The disciples turned around and served and helped the people. That's our desire, is to pray for you, to love on you, to stand with you, to believe God for you, to know that you're not by yourself, you're not alone. Prayer ministry, would you come up to the front and let's pray for these people. Father, we thank you that you are the yes and the amen. And each one that is coming forward, we dedicate them to you. Ask that you would turn their winter into a spring and to the beautiful, sunshiny summer. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Now, just right wherever you are, you at the front, and all of us here in the auditorium, I want us to say a prayer together. Alice, I'm actually going to ask you to come back in just a minute, if you would, because I felt like there was one more thing the Holy Spirit wanted to do. I want us to just say a prayer together, everyone here at the front and everyone in the auditorium. Would you just say this prayer with me? Just say this: Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my hurts. I give you my heart. You know my pain. And you know my story. Now I trust you, Lord, to finish my story, to heal me, to deliver me, and to fill me with your love. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve him. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for filling me. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You know, I want us to say thank you to Alice. Can we just tell her how much that meant to us? How wonderful. I could feel the Holy Spirit moving in just so many different ways here in this room.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.